You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
I really believe that every time I open up scripture and I expound the word of God, God speaks to us. God speaks to me firstly during the week as I study the text, and God speaks to his people as I do my best to expound his word for you tonight. And I really hope that you guys will hear from God and leave this place a challenge. Leave this place not just going, well, I just heard from Pastor Ben and he's kind of entertained me for 30 minutes or so, but no, I actually have heard from God, and I'm not just hearers but also doers of the Word of God. That I want to live lives that bring glory to God, and that's my passion, that's my dream, and I really believe that God will speak to some of you tonight, and your challenge is to really hear God and then live that out, all right? So that's my goal. During the week, I had a chance to speak to a man whom I've never met before. He came into the church office, we started talking, and I found out that this fellow here, his family have been serving the poor for the past 30 plus years, every Saturday, 3 hours, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., for the last 3 decades or so, serving soup to the poor. I mean, do your maths. 3 hours times 52 weeks in a year times 30 plus years. And as he was sharing that, it got me thinking. I asked myself the question, faithfulness. I mean, how can you serve God for that long? Like, seriously. I asked myself the question, can you get bored? Like, would there be a point where you stop? I mean, seriously, that's a long, long time. And then I look at this church, and I realize there's so many people in this church that you have served God for such a long period of time. And I don't want to embarrass people, but I'll just embarrass Sylvia right now. I mean, Sylvia doesn't know this, but she has served as a Connect leader or a community leader for, I can't remember when. Like, every year she says to me, Pastor, this is it. I'm going to stop serving because I'm so tired. And then she tells me 2 weeks later, you know what? God wants me to go again. Come on. And she goes again. Yeah, and I ask myself the question, why? Sylvia, why? And for some of you, I ask the question, why? You're like Duracell bunnies, you know, just nonstop, go, 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 go. Where is that passion coming from? That joy? Shouldn't that joy disappear one day? But it seems to be there all the time. And I want to talk about that tonight. That we can still find true joy, real joy in service, no matter how tough it may get. That for some of you, you need to hear what I have to share with you tonight. Because for some of you, you're probably losing that joy. For some of you, you're just doing the motion of serving, and I want to just reignite that joy. I want the Word of God to speak to you so that you can still find that joy in the season right now. And for some of you, you're like thinking, you know what, I actually can't wait to get out of that season of serving. God is going to speak to you tonight to say, keep going, that you can still find joy in what you're doing. And for some of you, you're about to enter into a season of serving, and you're scared. Because you're afraid it's going to take a lot of your time and it's going to be messy and it's going to be costly. I'm going to say to you, you will find joy when you serve the Lord. All right? And I want to talk about 4 principles in which you can always remember. And these 4 principles will give you real joy as you serve Him. All right? If you have your Bibles, come with me to Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. I'm going to read the Word of God. I'll tell those 4 principles, and I hope that you keep those principles close to heart, because I guarantee you, if you hold those principles to your heart, you will find joy as you serve Him. Here we go. Colossians 1, 24 to 29. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up my flesh with what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction, for the sake of His body, which is the church, And I have become its servant by the commissioning God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that had been kept hidden for ages and generations, but it is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28, He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And verse 29, And to this end I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Let me give you those four principles to find joy as you serve Him. Number one, joy because your service, our service, listen carefully, benefits others. If you remember that, you still find joy as you serve because it's going to benefit someone else. Number two, joy because the gospel is priceless. The gospel is so wonderful. It's precious. It's priceless. Number three, joy because Jesus, He is our glorious future hope. If you understand that, you will always find joy as you serve Him. And lastly, joy because Christ, He will give you all the power you need. He empowers you for ministry. Let me pray and I'll unpack the Word of God. Father, would you help me right now? Would you give me strength? Would you give me all that I need to expound your Word? And I pray, God, as I preach your Word, your people here will hear you through me as I expound the text. Will you speak to us? Will we leave this place saying we've heard from you? Will we leave this place saying, yes, we are challenged to live differently for your glory? Would you use me right now? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Are you ready? Here's the first point. If you understand that when you serve, it benefits others, it will give you true joy. Look in verse 24 with me. Paul says this, Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for who? He says right there, for you. Here's the context. Paul is in Rome. He's in prison in Rome, right? Some 2,000 kilometers from Colossae. And he's writing a letter to these Christians over there. And we know he's in prison in Rome. He doesn't know when he's going to die. He's cold. He's hungry. He's old. He's scared. But he's saying that I'm suffering. I'm going through this for who? For you. Not for me, but for you. He knew that everything that he went through would be a benefit for those who are hearing the gospel message. And now he says something very profound. Look what he says right here. I fill up my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction. All right, now listen carefully. This does not mean that Paul is saying, well, you know what Jesus did on the cross? It's lacking. He doesn't mean that. If you read this, you can easily come to that conclusion. But that's wrong. That's a heresy. He doesn't mean to say, oh, by the way, Jesus died on the cross. It was 95%. I came along and I suffer and I kind of filled up the last 5%. He's not saying that. There have been people who've read that and thought that's the conclusion. That's so wrong. Because we as Christians know that the cross is what? Complete. We know the cross is what? Everything paid in full. So what does Paul mean when he says that I am suffering so that what's lacking in Christ will be complete? This is what he's saying. Listen carefully. He's saying that if you are a Christian, you are to identify yourself with Christ. In other words, Christ's burial is your burial. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection. Christ's pain and suffering is also your pain and suffering. So if you are a Christian and you're struggling right now, if you're suffering right now because whatever you're doing is very, very hard, okay, understand this, it's normal. You're identifying yourself with Jesus. If you hear a preacher that says to you, when you serve, it's going to be easy, and when you serve, it's going to be like light work, and there'll be no problems, and there'll be no issues, don't listen to that preacher. Because that's wrong. Everything you do for God will be hard. It will be costly. It will be difficult. It will be messy because you're identifying yourself with Jesus. You want to identify with his resurrection. You want to identify with his burial. But sometimes we don't want to identify with his suffering. And what Paul is saying here is that to be a Christian, it will be difficult. I'll prove it to you. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 17. It's on the screen behind me. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And we love that verse because we stop right there. I am a child of God. I am a co-heir with Christ. Woohoo! But look what he says right now. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. You see that? To be a Christian means that sometimes what you do will be hard. It will be costly. It will be messy. But there's still a purpose. If you are serving right now, whatever ministry, and you're finding it very, very tough, and you want to give up, let me tell you, that's normal. That's normal. Okay? But there's a reason why it's tough. Because sometimes, when we suffer as we serve, we help the unbeliever experience the cross. Now, let me explain that. I don't want to confuse you. Let me explain that. Jesus died for many people, everyone in the city of Perth. Would you agree? Yeah. But there are some people today who still don't get that. Yeah? They don't understand it. They don't sing about it. Their lives are not transformed because of it. It doesn't make any sense to them. But Christ did die for them. Therefore, sometimes when you serve them, when you do your best to love them and come along beside them, and it's tough work, and you're suffering and you're struggling, you know what? You're actually helping them see the work of the cross through what you're doing. That's what Paul is saying right here, that my suffering is to help people see what Christ has done because they don't get it. So when you're finding it very tough in your service to God, understand that it's for the benefit of someone else. That you never know, as they look at your life, maybe they will see the beauty of the cross through your pain, through your suffering. Paul saw that. He understood that. And that's why he says, you know what? I'm going to keep doing what I have to do because my suffering will benefit someone else. And I will still find joy in what I do. And you can still find joy as you serve the Lord, knowing that whatever you go through will benefit someone else. That whatever you go through will help them see the beauty of the cross that you have come to know, but they have yet come to know. And that's what Paul is saying right here. So I want to encourage you that if you are struggling, if you're finding it very, very tough, and you want to give up, or you're hesitant to start, I want you to understand that that's normal. That's what it means to identify with the suffering of Christ, and that in your hardship and in your suffering, you know what? You will display the beauty of the gospel to someone who has not seen it yet. Keep at it. Keep at it and you can still rejoice. You got that? Number two, joy because the gospel is priceless. Let me explain that. Go back to the text, verse 25 and 26. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. What you see in those two verses is this theme of stewardship. You notice how Paul has been commissioned. A stewardship is just a big Christian word for I have been entrusted with something that is not mine from a higher authority. And I've got to look after it. That's what stewardship means. So for example, let's just say my brother Alan here, he decides to go on a holiday and he gives me his car, his nice Mercedes AMG. Is it an AMG? I'm not quite sure. He's wishing it's an AMG, right? And he says, Pastor, you can look after my car. I'll be away on a cruise for 3 months. corona-free cruise, all right? You've got 3 months to look after my car. But he tells me that I've got to make sure I use premium unleaded petrol. I've got to park the car in a garage. I've got to service the car once a month because his car is serviced 12 times a year, you know? And I made that up, right? I've got to drive the car. I can't just leave the car seated there and sitting there for the next 3 months. I've got to actually drive the car. No, of course. He's entrusted me with something very, very important. I've got to look after it. Is that right? I can't go putting diesel into it. I can't go parking under a fig tree. That won't be wise. I've got to honor it. That's stewardship. Or maybe you are a property business person. I don't know, you've got lots of properties and you've asked me to look after your properties. And my job is to make sure that the tenants are paying the rent, make sure that the maintenance work needs to be done. That's stewardship, all right? Stewardship means that someone higher than you have entrusted you with a responsibility. And right here, Paul would say, I've been entrusted with the gospel. Look what he says in verse 28. He says this, He is the one we proclaim, admonishing, teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. See what Paul is saying? God has commissioned me with this good news, and I'm to teach it, admonish it, proclaim it. And I'm going to do it because it's so important. And we need to understand that whatever we do in Christian service, it's the gospel. And the gospel is so precious and so priceless that if we take care of it, I'm pretty sure no matter how tough and how difficult it may get, we would still present it to the people around us. When you feel that the gospel is not important, there's a very good chance you give up. But if you know that the gospel is beautiful, and it's priceless, it's precious, you do whatever you can to get the message out there. Let me give you this example here. Hypothetically, let's say you or me, we found the cure to coronavirus. Or we found an alternative to toilet paper, right? Whatever, right? You'd be a living legend. Is that right? You'd be a legend. But the problem is that you found it in the outback. In the outback. Middle of Australia. But you found the cure. Now you want to get yourself back to the city. So as you're driving your car with the cure to corona, I'm pretty sure there'd be such joy. Is that right? You'd be joyful. You can't wait to get back into the city to share the good news with people because you found the cure to this virus. Yeah, it's precious. It's priceless. And you're excited to go back into the city to share this cure with the people. But on the way back, your radiator overheats. I don't know. The car breaks down. What would you do? Would you give up? Would you say, oh, it's just too hard? Oh, I can't get back to the city. I'll just roll over and die. I'll just give up. I don't think you would do that. Why? Because the cure is priceless. You do whatever it takes to get it back to the city. You find a way to get it to the city. If you understand that the gospel is so good, that God has entrusted you with this wonderful good news, and it saves lives for eternity, surely whatever road bumps, whatever hurdles, whatever suffering that may come your way, surely you say, you know what? I'm not going to roll over and die. I'm going to still see it completed. I'm going to still make sure that it's accomplished. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to say it's too hard. I'm going to keep going and going. And that's what Paul is saying right here. I have been entrusted with the gospel. And no matter how tough it is so precious and priceless, I am not going to give up. I will still find joy in proclaiming it, teaching it. And for you and I, when we serve Him, whatever we do, it is the gospel. And we have a responsibility to proclaim it, to teach it, to share it. And no matter how tough it gets, if we remember that it is priceless, we will keep at it. Amen? We will never say it's too hard. Thirdly, joy because Jesus is our future hope. Look in verse 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You notice here there are Jews and Gentiles. A Gentile is simply a non-Jew. I think 99% of us here are Gentiles. Unless if you're a Jew, then you're Jewish. But the majority of us here, we're Gentiles. And if you know your Bible, in the Old Testament, God's people were the Jews. Is that right? God was dealing with the Jews. But we go to the New Testament, God would include what? The Gentiles. And that mystery, that gospel, is now revealed to everyone, Jews and Gentiles. That's why today we're included into God's history. We're included into God's family. There's no longer a separation between Jews and Gentiles. Go with me to Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. How about Romans 10:12? For there is no difference between Jews and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on His name or call upon Him. We need to understand that today there's no separation. But what is Paul saying right here is that the gospel is simply, he says right there, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us. The gospel means that's Christ in us, that we get to experience Christ, we get to enjoy Christ, we get to know Christ because He lives in us. But Paul would say, He is our hope. You see that? Our hope of glory. And Christian hope is not a wishful thinking hope. Yeah? Like, you know, like wishful thinking is like, I hope, fingers crossed, I pass the exam. That's not Christian hope. Or I hope she says yes when I ask her out on a date. Right? That's wishful thinking. Or I hope that, you know, whatever, right? Christian hope is a definite. It's a guarantee. It's 100% guaranteed because God promises. And right here, what Paul is saying is this, is that if Christ is in us, He is our hope. There is a hope, there's a future hope. That you and I need to understand that at the end of the day, at the end of our day, we will get to enjoy Christ forevermore. All right? That's where we are going. At the end of the day, whatever happens to you and I don't know what's going to happen from now to the end, but I know if you are in Christ, if Christ lives in you, that your future hope is that at the end of the day, you get to enjoy Him forever. That's guaranteed. That's not wishful thinking. That's the great thing about having Christ in us. That at the end of the day, you will enjoy Him forever. I don't know what can happen from now to the end. I don't know. For us, we're all different. But at the end of the day, you get to enjoy Him. And if you know that's your ending, if you know that's where you're going, no matter how tough it is in service, you can still rejoice. Do you understand that? Because Christ is in you, and Christ is your future hope. Therefore, no matter how tough it gets, let me tell you as a pastor, that there are days where I want to give up. It's so hard being a senior pastor, but I know that at the end of the day, I get to enjoy Him forever. Therefore, the hurdles and the suffering that comes my way, I'm going to keep persisting. And I still choose to have joy despite how tough it gets, because I know my ending. Amen. You look at Jesus on the cross, the author of Hebrews, he writes this. Hebrews 12:2. For the joy set before Jesus, He endured the cross. That's suffering. Scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew that at the end of the day, He will be victorious as He sits to the right of the Father, therefore He can endure the cross. If you and I understand that, no matter how tough it gets, oh, we can still choose joy. You know, a few years ago, my wife and I, we were kind of hooked onto the reality TV show, The Bachelor, yeah? Now, for those who don't know, it's a very silly TV show all about finding love, right? Okay. Anyhow, Tran and I, we've been watching this and we love it because, you know, as you watch it, you have your favorites. You know what? You want him to select the particular lady that you've kind of hoped she would win. Anyhow, towards the very end, the very last episode, you should know this if you've watched it. There are two ladies, right? And the bachelor would select one or the other, all right? And maybe propose. And of course, if you know these reality TV show, it's showing early, around 2-3 hours over the East Coast before they showed on the West Coast. Is that right? Because of the difference in time. So that particular afternoon, Trent doesn't know this, that particular afternoon, I was doing some work and I was on the internet surfing and I happened to find out who the bachelor selected. But I kept it a secret. I didn't want to ruin it for my wife, my lovely wife, right? So I remember that evening as we were watching it. I knew the ending. I knew what would happen. But Tran didn't, right? And the beauty was that it was the girl that we wanted him to select. So it was going to be a great ending to this whole series. And I remember my wife, she's nervous. She's at the edge of the sofa. She's biting all the fingernails. And I'm just looking at her, just having a great time because I knew exactly what was going to happen. I was calm. I wasn't nervous. There was no anxiety. I had joy because I knew what would happen at the end. We know the ending. We know where we are going. Christ in you, the hope of glory. At the very end, we will enjoy Him forevermore. Therefore, whatever suffering, whatever pain you are going through in service, know it's normal. It's what it means to be Christian. Still choose joy. Go with it. Don't give up. It's worth it because you know that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And finally, joy because Christ will empower us. Look in verse 29. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. What does Paul say right here? The energy for service is in Christ. The power for service is in Christ. It's all Jesus. So when you serve Him, He will give you the power. And when you're tired, He will give you the power, but keep going. What does Paul say in 2 Corinthians 12:9? Jesus said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul would say, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." If you are tired this evening, if you are finding, gee, you know what? What I've been doing has been so tiring. It's been so hard. Or maybe you are new to the faith and you just realize that being a Christian is so tough. It's so tiring. I want you to know that He will give you all the strength you need to keep on going. I want you to understand that. And the one thing I've learned as a pastor over the years here is that the way we can experience God's power starts when we begin to work. Let me put it this way here. You will never find out the power of God and realize what He can do in you and through you until you start doing something. Think about that. Because if you are doing nothing, if you're lazy, you're not motivated to serve, you know what? You're not going to experience the power of Christ. Procrastination, right, hinders the power of Christ. What, you think that by being lazy and just sitting there doing nothing, God's going to give you the power to do something? Not in my experience as a pastor, how many years now? I've realized one thing, that when you start doing something, and when it starts getting hard, and you're struggling, you find that the power of Christ comes alongside you. And you realize that you're doing something you've never done before. But if you are lazy, if you're procrastinating, you can hinder the power of Christ. Start working. Start doing something. As it gets hard, Christ, He works alongside you. He gives you energy, He gives you power, and you realize that you've done something you've never done before. It's the power of Him. Last year, I had a chance to go to Indonesia with some pastors from Perth. And I was going to Indonesia with Compassion. I met this particular local pastor. He travels 2 hours from his house to the village to minister. And then 2 hours back home on a motorbike. That's 4 hours a day. 2 hours there, 2 hours back. To minister in a village that they don't want Christians there. But God said to him, that's your mission field. That's where you're going. Can you imagine the struggles with God? God is so far. That's 4 hours of my day just driving. But you want me to go there? Okay, God, I'll go. All right. And as we were talking to him, he started sharing with us the struggles. And I tell you right now, it made all the pastors from Perth, it made us feel that our job here is a walk in the park. I can't complain when I hear my brother in Indonesia go through all that pain and suffering to help and love a community that hates Christ, and he travels 4 hours a day. So as he was sharing his testimony, we kept saying, how? How do you do this, brother? And the one thing he kept saying was this, I don't know, but I know that he gives me power. He goes, I don't know, but he gives me strength. He goes, there's moments when I'm on the motorbike and I want to give up, but he keeps me going forward. And he's been doing now for, I think, 7 years. He kept saying, I don't know. I don't know, but he seems to be giving me power every time it gets hard. And I totally agree with my brother that when you work hard, when you begin to serve Christ, whether it's the next door neighbor who God is placing your heart to reach and you're finding it very, very hard. Or it's just loving the kids at kids' church and you find it very, very hard. Or whatever it may be, I know that when it gets hard, He gives you the power, He gives you the energy to keep on going. That's what the Bible says right here. And if you have not experienced the power of Christ yet, maybe you're not working hard enough. Maybe you've given up a long time ago. But if you're finding it's hard, keep going. Keep serving. You know why? Because your suffering, right, will benefit someone else. You can still choose joy. Keep going. Because the gospel is priceless. It's precious. Share it. Live it out. You can still choose joy. Keep going. Because you know that Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know where you will be at the very end. You're going to be with Him. Keep going. Choose joy. Keep going. Because you know He will give you the power you need to do His work. Amen. And I have come to the conclusion, that's why some people have been serving God for so many years. Just like that fella who's been doing the soup kitchen 3 hours every Saturday, every week, 52 times a year for over 30 years. That's why people like Sylvia has served God as a community leader for I can't remember when. That's the reason why my elder Simon and his lovely wife have served me as elders with so many ministries here. Because I know that the power of God is working in you and through you. And that's why I know that some of you here, you're still doing what you're doing. Keep at it. It's worth it. It's worth it.